This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump and Biden face voters. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, October 16. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump and Democratic rival Joe Biden each took part in separate town hall events last night. Here's some of their responses.
There's been progress on a stimulus bill, with White House and Democratic negotiators agreeing on one contentious issue.
A third straight day of declines in the stock market, with investors wary of tightening coronavirus lockdowns in Europe and the latest jobless data in the U.S.
And what to know before splurging for the new iPhone.
On the face of it, it looks pretty darn similar to the last one. It's going to have more power. It's going to have glass that's less likely to break. It's going to have a better camera. And supposedly way faster, but that's debatable.
Jeff Graham at USA Today on questions to ask yourself if you're considering one of the new iPhone 12 models. President Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden performed in simultaneous town halls broadcast on separate TV networks last evening. Mr. Biden, speaking to voters in Philadelphia on ABC, was asked about policing tactics.
There's a lot of things we've learned. And it takes time, but we can do this. You can ban chokeholds. But beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances.
Mr. Trump was on NBC in front of an outdoor audience of voters in Miami, where he was asked about the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
The DACA program has been curtailed by your administration.
Well, what happened is because of the pandemic, much changed on the immigration front. Mexico is heavily infected, as you know, and we've made it very, very difficult to come in because of the pandemic.
The final debate is still scheduled for next week in Nashville. Meanwhile, both men are desperate to deliver their messages, since some 18.3 million Americans have already voted, either in person or by mail so far, representing 12.9% of the total votes counted in 2016. The Senate Judiciary Committee plans to issue a subpoena to Twitter chief executive Jack Dorsey after the company blocked a pair of New York Post articles that made new allegations about Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. The subpoena, to be issued Tuesday, would require Mr. Dorsey to testify a week from today before the committee. GOP lawmakers are singling out Twitter because it prevented users from posting links to the articles, which the Post said were based on email exchanges with Hunter Biden, the Democratic candidate's son, provided by allies of President Trump. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz was on Fox News.
Twitter is interfering in this election. They are censoring the press. I don't know if these New York Post stories are accurate or not, but the New York Post, it has the fourth largest circulation of any newspaper in America, and right now Jack Dorsey is just behaving as Joe Biden's press secretary.
Meanwhile, last evening, Twitter's legal and policy chief said the company would change how it enforces certain content rules, citing, quote, significant feedback on how it handled the Post articles. White House and Democratic negotiators have agreed to include a national coronavirus testing strategy in a broader economic relief package. Word came as President Trump again signaled his desire for an aid package approaching $2 trillion, despite opposition from Senate Republicans. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said at an event in Kentucky yesterday that Senate Republicans are unlikely to accept a compromise.
I like another round of stimulus checks, particularly for low-income people who've been hit hard by the hospitality industry, hotels, restaurants. We're not very keen on state and local government. We've already sent them $150 billion.
The national testing plan is one of several issues that still need to be resolved between the two sides. Meanwhile, Democrats have pushed for a centralized, federally led approach to testing that they say would more efficiently route resources to where they're needed. The Trump administration has favored leaving decisions on testing to the states. It's 11 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. The number of Americans filing new applications for unemployment benefits rose last week to the highest level since late August. Claims increased to 898,000. Weekly claims have been between 800 and 900,000 for more than a month as companies readjust their headcounts. A failure by Congress to enact a new economic relief package, meanwhile, would prolong the pain of the coronavirus crisis for many Americans, but those without jobs face a special threat. Millions could run out of unemployment benefits altogether by the end of the year. It's a story by Rebecca Rainey, labor reporter at Politico. Rebecca, where are we on this?
So we've been hearing a lot about this back and forth of Congress not being able to come up with a relief deal. But a big thing that, you know, people have been forgetting to talk about is that several programs that were enacted under that big package in March, the CARES Act, are going to expire on December 31st. So it really depends on which bucket of worker you're talking about. So first of all, there's this pandemic unemployment assistance program. It was a new program that has provided help to jobless workers who are not traditionally eligible. Pretty much, the text pretty much said anyone who is not normally eligible can, you know, use this program. A lot of gig workers have been using it, and also, you know, self-employed contractors as well. So according to the latest data, nearly 373,000 people are relying on that program alone. And on December 31st, that will completely expire. When we're talking about, you know, a normal worker or someone who's termed an employee by their company who are, you know, eligible for state unemployment benefits, most states get about 26 weeks of aid. So under the March CARES Act, it created this other program that gives those workers another 13 weeks. There's about 2.7 million people right now relying on benefits under that 13-week program, so that will expire.
We're speaking with Rebecca Rainey, labor reporter at Politico. She's got an in-depth look entitled Millions of Workers Face Jobless Benefits Cliff with Lifeline Set to Expire. The numbers around some of these stories that you guys do are just amazing. You quoted that one congressman from Nevada who said something like 200,000 residents in that state contact their representatives on a fairly frequent basis saying, hey, what's up? Are we getting help?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of concern. I mean, of course, there's been a lot of talk about this extra $600 benefit that expired on July 31st. And so for a lot of people, you know, the average unemployment benefit in each state is, you know, somewhere around, you know, $250 or so from the last time I checked. So when you had an extra $600 on top of that, that is a huge difference in the amount of income you're seeing. And of course, that is going to be dragging down on the economy, the amount of money, you know, people are able to spend, whether they're going to stop at, you know, and get some fast food on the way home, or if they can, or if they have expendable money like that.
Yeah.
So these benefits are really essential to driving the recovery is what economists keep telling me. If Congress doesn't figure out, you know, whether they are going to extend the benefits or not, this could seriously hamper an already, you know, struggling recovery.
How does the latest proposed bill handle these deadlines?
The Democrats' latest bill, the HEROES Act, that they passed earlier this year, and arguably we could say, you know, that's probably, you know, what they are asking for in negotiations, would only extend these programs through the end of January. So that also creates another potential looming deadline if a bill is passed, because Republicans in their proposal wouldn't extend these programs at all. They would extend that that extra weekly benefit I talked about, that $600 benefit, mm-hmm. but only at $300 and only for a couple more weeks. So Democrats, if they only extend this program to January 31st, that doesn't leave much wiggle room at all for people or for, you know, if regarding whatever happens in November. That doesn't mean Democrats have, you know, secured a solution where they can just easily, you know, if they sweep arguably in November, they could easily pass a bill, but it still only gives them about 31 days to figure out how to do that. And the president doesn't get sworn in until, you know, mid-January.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. Rebecca Rainey, labor reporter at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Well, it was supposed to be a second presidential debate. Instead, it was dueling town halls in different cities. On NBC, host Savannah Guthrie asked President Trump about the New York Times article that says he has hundreds of millions of dollars in debt.
The question is, on behalf of voters, who do you owe $421 million
to? Okay, first of all, let me ask you. What they did is illegal, number one. Also, the numbers are all wrong with the numbers they released.
Trump did not offer specific details about what was wrong.
Number two.
On ABC, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden kept his options open when asked if he would add judges to the Supreme Court to balance the 6-3 conservative majority that will likely take hold if President Trump's third nominee is confirmed.
I have not been a fan of court packing because I think it just generates what will happen. Whoever wins, it just keeps moving in a way that is inconsistent with what is going to be manageable.
Biden said he would announce his position before the election, saying it depends on how Republicans handle the confirmation process for Amy Coney Barrett.
Number three.
New coronavirus cases hit their highest level since mid-August on Wednesday, a sign of a false surge predicted by public health officials. For the eighth time since October began, newly reported cases nationally ticked above 50,000. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine.
Yesterday, we reported 2,039 cases, our record. Today, we are reporting 2,178 cases, another record.
Hospitalizations also have swelled. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie revealed that he was in the intensive care unit for 7 days with COVID-19, and he admitted he was wrong to not wear a mask at a ceremony for the Supreme Court nominee. Christie said he thought he was in a safe zone at the White House, where many thought testing would protect them from the virus. Christie added that every public official, regardless of party or position, should advocate for every American to wear a mask in public. The big winners are Amazon's Prime Day event, its own Echo Dot device, the Lego Star Wars Stormtrooper helmet, and the iRobot Roomba robot vacuum. Amazon did not provide a final sales tally, but says third-party sellers saw sales that surpassed $3.5 billion, up 60% from last year.
Holy cow. Thank you, Jen. So if you're working from home, are you still dressing for work? While we can all understand not wearing a tie, going to the other extreme, like an old t-shirt, is a little too casual. If you need to upgrade the work-from-home wardrobe, try Cuts Clothing. Technical apparel for the sport of business. GQ called them the only shirt worth wearing. They combine an athletic, tailored-looking fit with their custom-engineered, wrinkle-free, ultra-soft Pika fabric for a new level of fit, fabric, and function. I gotta say, I love wearing my cut shirts. They're tough, they're durable, yet still flexible, willing to move with me. And now, Cuts is finally out with their new polos and hoodies made with their custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric. Try Cuts and save. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. With pre-orders available beginning today for the new crop of iPhones, you're probably wondering, should I upgrade? Jefferson Graham at USA Today says, before you fork over money, there are questions you need to ask yourself. Jeff, what do you make of the 12?
On the face of it, it looks pretty darn similar to the last one. It's going to have more power. It's going to have glass that's less likely to break. It's going to have a better camera and supposedly way faster, but that's debatable.
I want to ask first about this glass. As you said, guys like yourself like to test it. What will happen with the glass?
Well, they say it's 4 times less likely to crack What did they compare it to? They compared it to the last iPhone. And what did they do? Did they have glass-breaking parties? They haven't told us. it's the same company that makes the glasses, Corning. We have been breaking their glasses for years. Mm. So, I mean, if it works, I'm thrilled. But let's see.
How about some of the basic differences here? Because there are four. So we've got the iPhone 12, the 12 Pro, the Mini, the Pro Max. I mean, are there significant differences among them?
Better camera tech features in the Pro Max, mostly for low light and for the wide angle camera, again for low light. For the average consumer, they will not see much difference. The Mini is smaller than the other three models.
All right.
And a price range goes from $700 up to $1,100 for starters. But if you add a lot of memory and you get the AppleCare, the top of the line will cost you about $1,800.
Goodness gracious. How about this Dolby Vision that's in it that you point out in the story?
Well, that one cracks me up because if you got a 4K TV, they'll tell you that you can watch movies in Dolby Vision on Netflix and Amazon Prime, better color, better contrast, yada, yada, yada. All sounds great, right? So now you're actually going to be able to record your video in Dolby Vision. Great. You can actually record it.
Wow.
And get higher quality color and contrast and all those things. But good luck doing anything with it because you can't post these videos to Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube or Instagram. It's a different file format. You can't even import the footage into your computer and edit them because they're a different file. On Apple computers at launch, they say they'll eventually start working with them. So the best you can do is I could show it to you on my phone or beam it to my TV through AirPlay.
Wow.
Great idea, but let's not jump the gun. That's all.
Thanks, Jeff. Jefferson Graham at USA Today, where he is a personal technology columnist, also host of a podcast called Talking Tech. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Chances are you're spending too many hours of your day and fees out of your pocket doing business banking the old-fashioned way. It's 2020. There's got to be a better, more affordable solution. There is. It's Aslo, a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, money transfers, no minimum balance, no fees, and no minimum deposit. And now there's the all-new Aslo Pro Bundle with unlimited envelopes to organize your money, discounted instant transfers, and the ability to set up recurring invoices all for just $10 a month. But because you're listening to this podcast, you can try Aslo Pro free for 14 days at aslo.com/deal. Learn more with a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide or get started right now with an Aslo Pro free 14-day trial at aslo.com/deal. There's no minimum deposit required. Get started for free at aslo.com/deal. That's AZLO.com. Aslo is owned by BBVA USA, member FDIC. Aslo.com/deal.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. And welcome into Friday, October 16. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump and Biden take part in town halls. Some progress on a coronavirus stimulus bill. Hearings complete for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. The Senate to subpoena the CEO of Twitter about blocking news stories. C-SPAN host Steve Scully suspended indefinitely for lying about his Twitter account being hacked after a message to a former Trump aide. We could learn tonight who's going to the World Series. And here's a funny one. A hacked Wikipedia entry said Jets coach Adam Gase has been criticized for, quote, being as good of a coach as a potato. Well, before the coronavirus pandemic hit in March, there were nearly 12 million children under the age of 5 enrolled in some type of childcare nationwide. The pandemic, however, forced about half of providers to shut down at some point during the last 7 months and has left 1 in 5 childcare employees, that's about 214,000 people, out of work as of August. A couple of their stories from Megan Lenhart, senior reporter at CNBC Make It. Megan, what are you hearing?
We're still seeing both parents and providers really hanging on by a thread. You would think, you know, we're so many months in that we would have seen some more recovery, but it turns out that child care providers still operating on, you know, very, very high operational costs, and then parents being still very afraid to send their children back. And so enrollment really has not returned to pre-pandemic levels as of yet.
Explain the story of that woman you talked to in North Carolina who runs her own daycare center. She's just about emptied her savings account trying to make things as safe as possible from COVID, and still her enrollment's way down.
Yes. So this piece was actually part of a series called The COVID Economy that we're doing, and we're looking at North Carolina. So I actually interviewed Cassandra Brooks, who was amazingly generous with her time and her story in trusting it to me. But she actually runs Little Believers Academy just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. And there are two locations. And she is actually incredibly concerned that she's not going to be able to make payroll this month. And you have to imagine, as a small business owner, that is probably the worst feeling in the world. She knows that these employees are relying on her. She knows that parents are relying on her. And yet, she can't seem to make the math work. In fact, she's actually been operating at a loss for several months now, as, you know, these grants that she's been getting, PPP loans, it's not like she hasn't had some support, but it's just not enough.
Mm. She got two centers. Did you say one's at about 40% capacity, the other one 50? Was that her?
Yes, that is. It's crazy, right? I think it just should be a little bit higher at this point, especially because so many parents are actually back at work, even part-time in the office, and you do have schools reopening at this point, and, you know, several of them in the area are actually reopening for in-person learning as early as this month and then almost full-time in November. So it's kind of interesting. It's all coming a little bit at an intersection right now, where we have these child care providers who have been really hanging on these last couple of months. They, you know, certainly have been providing care for the essential workers. Many, though, had to close even partially. And then now you have people like Cassandra who are actually going through positive COVID cases happening at the child care center. And, of course, that's very, very scary for everyone involved. I mean, certainly parents, I imagine, are incredibly nervous. But you also have the staff and the teachers and Cassandra herself who are sitting there, and they are on the front line of this.
We're speaking with Megan Lenhart, senior reporter at CNBC Make It. Her piece is called "Parents and Child Care Providers Are Still Struggling as the Pandemic Drags On." What are parents saying about this, about maybe why they're not sending their kids to these child care centers?
So I think parents are also, you know, definitely weighing some heavy decisions here. And I actually spoke with one, Jessica, who was very upfront, and she said that her father actually passed away from COVID, and it completely changed how the family looked and felt about the virus and the pandemic at large. She and her husband actually have no plans to send their children back in person to school or daycare until there's some kind of viable vaccine. And a lot of parents are in that same boat. But then there's other parents who, quite frankly, have to work, and they just can't do their jobs remotely anymore. They absolutely have to have childcare. And so they are sitting there and trying to find the best possible solutions for their families and trying to make it work. And of course, you know, they're still coming up short sometimes. I was talking with Sarah Caldwell, again, another new resident, and she was talking about how there was just no way that they were going to be able to continue to have both her and her husband work and have the children at home and care for them while still trying to do their job. So it's really a little bit of, you know, everyone trying to figure out the best solution that works for their family.
Thanks, Megan. Megan Lenhart, senior reporter at CNBC Make It. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, the Major League Baseball playoffs are heating up, and the Houston Astros are still in the mix, even as most of the country roots against them. This was supposed to be the year that the Astros spent the entire season getting booed by fans in every city they went to after the cheating scandal that broke wide open in the spring. COVID-19 had other plans, however, and the team has spent the shortened season playing in empty ballparks. That that hasn't stopped one fan who, with a little ingenuity, is making sure that the Astros don't forget just how disliked they are. Reporters covering the Astros-Rays American League Championship Series in San Diego have noticed that someone from an apartment building outside the stadium has been using a megaphone to yell insults at Astros players during the games. Things like, "You are cheaters," and "Shame on you." The New York Times tracked down the man, a 30-year-old Chicago White Sox fan named Tim Cantor. Cantor did the math and, along with some friends, purchased a $200 megaphone that he hoped would project his voice the approximately 700 feet from his balcony to home plate. Cantor told the Times he simply wanted to get his point across about the lack of punishment that the players received because of the cheating and the unimpressive nature of their apologies afterward.
Wow.
He said his math teacher would be very impressed. He did like some Pythagorean theorem stuff to figure out exactly how far he needed the megaphone to travel. And it seems like they've actually noticed that Jose Altuve has turned around a couple times during games.
Really?
To look up and, you know, sort of check out what's going on back there.
That's funny. So I guess he calculated the watts of the the megaphone, the distance, and the speed of sound, I guess, and all that, or whatever.
That's funny. $200. That's that's a pretty high end model, I would think, for a megaphone. So
that's funny.
Good for him.
Watch the donations start pouring in for him to continue and perhaps upgrade his megaphone.
Yes, and it's Friday in New Jersey, and that means pizza delivery for many. Somebody has to fold up all those pizza boxes so the Deal family can get their pies, and you better be quick about it. That's where Randy DiGregorio comes in. Randy, a Rutgers graduate, Gordon, who works for a pizza place in Manalapan, unofficially broke the Guinness World Record by folding a mind-boggling 18 pizza boxes in 1 minute. Randy said he decided to take on the world record after discovering it currently stands at 14 boxes in 1 minute, set by a pizza worker in Italy. Randy said he has submitted evidence of his accomplishment to Guinness and expects to hear within a few months whether he is an official record holder.
That's impressive.
So that's like 3 seconds and change, per pizza box.
Man,
that's a little crazy.
That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
Yes.
Friday night is definitely pizza night in the Deal House.
Yes.
But we've been going plain lately. Like, nobody likes to venture out much with toppings on the pizza.
Really?
Yeah. I can go sausage. I can go any meat.
Yeah, of course.
Peppers and onions are good by me.
Sure.
Mushrooms, anything like that. But
were you just uninspired right now? Is that what's going on?
With creativity, I'm a man on an island because I'll try anything.
Yeah.
The rest of the family, boring.
Just while it's playing. You got to get your own pie. That's what you got to do. Your own cool pie and let them divvy up the plane.
We know what happens with that.
Yeah.
I eat too much. Yeah, that's no discipline.
You from yourself.
Right. Put me in front of a pizza. I'm like a hound dog. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
For the ones working tirelessly to keep their coworkers safe. For the ones rising to new challenges. For the ones rebuilding stronger than before. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, and 24/7 support. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You can see people with a mask, though, right?
I can, but people with masks are catching it all the time.
Then I go to every governor, I go to every mayor, I go to every councilman, I go to every local official, say, mandate the mask.
Trump and Biden taking part in town halls last evening. More on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, devastating fires on the West Coast may cause long-term damage to the nation's wine supply, possibly leading to higher prices and reduced selection in ensuing years. USA Today says the glass fire, which began a little more than 2 weeks ago, threatened the Napa Valley wine region, destroying about 600 homes and other buildings, including wineries. Beyond structural damage, smoke from the fires may deliver the longest-lasting losses. Smoke can affect wine grapes and make any wine made from tainted grapes
unfit to drink, let alone sell. Some in the wine community have concerns about supply and potential prices. It's impossible to quantify how much wine will be made from this year's harvest because labs that test the crop for taint from smoke are inundated with submissions. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump was pressed on his handling of the pandemic amid rising coronavirus cases during a contentious town hall on NBC last night, while Democratic nominee Joe Biden was asked on ABC what he would do differently. Trump was questioned by host Savannah Guthrie about his COVID tests.
Do you take a test every single day?
No, but I take a lot of tests.
Okay, and you don't know if you took a test the day of the debate?
Possibly I did, possibly I didn't.
Number two.
Joe Biden says the president hasn't been forthcoming about the pandemic.
And so the point was he missed enormous opportunities and kept saying things that weren't true. It's going to go away by Easter. Don't worry about it. It's going to all, when the summer comes, it's all going to go away like a miracle. He's still saying those things.
Last night was supposed to be the second face-to-face debate between the candidates.
Number three.
White House and Democratic negotiators have agreed on including a national coronavirus testing strategy and broader economic relief legislation, as President Trump again signaled his desire for an aid package approaching $2 trillion despite opposition from Senate Republicans. Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland on Fox.
Mitch McConnell just said today that anything in the range that Secretary Mnuchin and Speaker Pelosi are talking about is unacceptable in the United States Senate and does not have the support of a majority of Republican senators.
An agreement over a national testing plan would remove one of the biggest but not the only concerns Democrats have raised with the White House's proposal. The battle over absentee ballots in Texas continues to rage after a Texas judge yesterday lifted an order by Republican Governor Greg Abbott that limited counties to a single drop-off location for absentee ballots. Siding with Democrats who have denounced the limit as voter suppression, Abbott is expected to appeal. Contrary to reports of employee burnout from the stress of working from home during the pandemic, most people now say they're not so keen on returning to the office. And it's not because they're afraid of catching COVID-19. According to a Korn Ferry survey, 74% of respondents are confident that their coworkers would follow safety guidelines, but 58% said they actually get more done when working remotely, even with all the distractions.
Work longer, too. Longer
yes,
days.
You definitely get more done if you're working more.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Sign stealing ramps up every 4 years ahead of presidential elections. This time around, many more people have home cameras. That means more perps are being filmed in the act as they snatch, kick, and yell at signs for President Trump and rival Joe Biden. The Wall Street Journal says in Harford County, Maryland, authorities are looking for a man suspected in multiple sign thefts over the summer. In one video caught by a homeowner, he strode up the front lawn of a house in Bel Air, tucked his face in his shirt, made an obscene gesture, and grabbed a Trump-Pence sign before marching back to his car. Martin Lubell, a 57-year-old genetic scientist in Worcester, Ohio, said 8 of his Biden yard signs have been nabbed at his residence and a second house he rents out. In a video of one incident at his home, two shadowy school-age figures run up to the yard at around 2 a.m. One takes a Biden sign. The video, though, was too grainy for police to identify suspects. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.